Hey guys, welcome back to Thick and Thin. This is Katie, per usual, back with a very, very hard-hitting podcast, guys, because tonight I have been doing some thinking this week. As you guys know, if you follow me on Instagram, which if you guys don't follow me on Instagram, why not? I think I'm cool enough for you guys to follow me on Instagram, let's be real. I mean, I post like photos of my outfits and like normal girl stuff, but yeah, follow me on Instagram. It's Katie, K-A-T-Y, Bellotti, B as in boy, E-L-L-O-T-T-E. That's my first and last name, guys. If you weren't sure who you were listening to this entire time that you've been binging my podcast, I'm just kidding. Do I sound cocky to you guys? Oh my God. Well, perfect, because do I have a podcast episode in store for you guys? I've been brainstorming, kind of marinating this topic in my brain since Monday. If you guys follow me, you would know that I've been doing a series of polls on my Instagram stories, kind of asking you guys questions, picking your brains about the subject of feeling as though you are too much for other people, be it relationship-wise with, you know, guys or girls. You feel like you're overpowering in a relationship or leading up to, and you just don't know how to flirt because you feel like you're coming on too strong, or just with people in general. You feel like you come on too strong. You're a little bit too much. You kind of express yourself too loudly, and it freaks people out, and you're like, what the heck? Why am I like this? And you feel insecure about it. Or if you know, you're having a day where you're like, wow, I look good today. I want to share a selfie, or I just, you know, think I look good. I'm happy with my appearance today. And you hold back because you're afraid to be portrayed as, you know, narcissistic or obsessed with yourself and things like that. So if you've ever had any of those feelings, or you've been intimidated by someone else who comes across as this confident person, you know, confident, perfect person on the outside, and you're like, oh my God, I'm intimidated by that person, or you have this like sinking feeling where it's like, wait, I kind of want to be that person. Like, I wish I was that person. Yep, if you felt a number of any of those things, I have a podcast in store for you guys tonight. Even if you haven't felt any of those things, I still got some things to share. I have some stories. I have some noteworthy women of history that I want to bring up from the ashes and talk about because their stories are compelling. And a lot of things inspired this podcast. But number one thing that inspired it was this quote by Mindy Kaling, which I do want to share before I get into the nitty gritty, because it did kind of spur all of this. So, you know, without this quote, if I didn't stumble across this when I was doing some work for my real job, this podcast would not have happened. So yeah, Mindy Kaling said, a lot of people have a problem being around women who don't hate themselves. And I read this and I was like, wait a minute, I don't know if I agree with that. And then I started to kind of like process it, and I'm like, wait a second, that is pretty accurate. So yes, I'm going to unpack that quote tonight, as well as some other little things that stem off from this topic, and answer some of your listener questions. But before I do that, I want to introduce tonight's sponsor. This episode is sponsored by Dirty Lemon, as was last week's, and I just cracked open my charcoal flavored drink. Dirty Lemon is a direct to consumer line of functional beverages. They have 8 different flavors. As you guys know, I tried the turmeric one last week, and tonight I cracked open the charcoal one, which I've been a longtime fan of for years. Basically, they have 8 different beverages that promote different health and wellness benefits, like immunity support, glowing skin, gentle daily cleansing, and all with less than 1 gram of sugar and less than 30 calories, which is pretty impressive. And the charcoal flavor, the formula itself is amazing. It's a gentle detox that doesn't require you to give up anything in the process of drinking it, which is very, very noteworthy. And the greatest part about the Dirty Lemon charcoal drink is the fact that they encourage you to like eat things. Like, their whole campaign is surrounding like, eat the pizza and then drink the Dirty Lemon charcoal drink, and it aids with digestion. You're obviously not going to drink it every day because it's like a lot for your system to handle, but drinking activated charcoal improves your digestion. It stimulates your liver function. It's amazing for the holiday season when you're just like eating a lot of things and justifying with being like, oh, it's the holidays, I can eat everything in sight because it's the holidays. Do you ever use that excuse? Don't even get me started on how it makes you feel after a long night of drinking. Guys, keep this thing on your bedside table. It's your best friend. Well, in the fridge, obviously, because you need to refrigerate it, but you know. Anyway, so love my Dirty Lemon charcoal drink. And if you guys want to place an order and to get a free case of drinks with your order, all you got to do is send a text message. Yes, you heard that right. Super easy. You probably have your phone in your hand right now. So just whip out your phone, text the number 917-588-0640. That's 917-588-0640. And text the code KATY, B, and you'll get a free case with your first order. Someone will reach out and get all your info and send you a nice shipment of Dirty Lemons. So yeah. Okay, cool. That's it for tonight's podcast sponsor. Thank you, Dirty Lemon. I love you. And let's get on with the nitty gritty. All right, guys. So I have a little bit of a confession for you all. Besides the Mindy Kaling quote, I got a little bit of inspiration for tonight's podcast from an unlikely source that you guys might laugh at me for or just like not know this about me. So I am kind of a closet history buff. Like I'm kind of obsessed with history and like historical moments. So I have this like, you know, this habit of listening to like History Channel little episodes, like mini episodes on YouTube, like listening to them on loop, like listening to one and then you know how they play another episode like afterwards on YouTube. Like I do that for like several hours at a time and just listen to a bunch of like history moments, like random stuff I'm not even searching for, and I just like stumble across on the History Channel. So yeah, okay, there you go. Confession's done. I love history, and maybe that's why I'm single. I'm not sure. But anyway, so I was listening to this one about, it was kind of like a slew of historical women and just like women in history that have made, you know, movements or that have just like done something noteworthy. And it landed on this one episode, which I'm going to play a little bit of it for you. I don't know if this is going to be like copyright, definitely is, but like it's kind of important to the story that I'm about to share. I'm like pulling up on my computer right now. So the title of the episode is "This Woman Was Picasso, Hemingway, and Fitzgerald's Muse." So let me give you a little bit of a backstory. I kind of feel like one of those commentators on the History Channel, and I'm feeling very cool right now. This is like my all-time dream. But to kind of back up and give you guys a little bit of a backstory. So there is this couple. This is in the 1920s, Gerald Murphy and Sarah Murphy. So they are American, and they moved to France because they're super rich, and they're like, okay, let's just, like, we're bored. Let's just move to France. So they moved to the south of France, the French Riviera, I believe is the south of France. I'm like picturing the south of France in my head when I tell the story. So like, it better be the south of France. So it's like a beachy town. Just picture that in your head. And so basically the gist of this couple was they're extremely fabulously wealthy, have so much money they don't know what to do with. So they just like picked up and moved to France, obviously. And they're a very colorful couple at that. They're, you know, loud, they're exciting. They're constantly drinking and having extravagant parties. And they actually convinced this hotel owner, at this French Riviera to keep their hotel open all year round, past the, you know, the tourist season, so they can house all of their famous friends, because they just were so rich that they bumped into like famous, you know, people. Well, they weren't famous at the time, you know, famous as in like, you know, the artists that we know now as being famous. And they were like, you guys are cool, like stay at our hotel that we'll pay for and have extravagant parties every night. So that was like the gist of the couple. There's actually some rumors that Gerald Murphy is gay or was gay. So that's kind of why Sarah became a little bit of a flirt and he didn't seem to mind. But Sarah, there's like no hints actually that Sarah was ever, you know, not faithful to her husband. There was never any like evidence of an affair or anything of that nature. But basically, Sarah was a very exciting person to be around. She was very, you know, bold and interesting. And she would wear her pearls to the beach, which was like something you didn't do back then. And she would just like bring all these exciting outfits and have everyone try them on and drink sherry and eat cookies and just have a grand old time. And she was one of those energies that people saw her and just wanted to be her. And despite the fact that obviously times for women weren't amazing back in the 1920s, she was a force to be reckoned with. She defied everything that a woman was supposed to be at the time, you know, like seen but not heard. She was heard and seen. And that's something that, like, just listening to the story about her was just so inspiring to me. But basically, you know, the whole little episode goes on to say that she was a muse for Picasso.
Sarah wasn't like anybody that he had ever met. She had this very direct, candid way of speaking. To Picasso, this must have seemed just incredibly direct and sexy and amazing. Picasso begins to draw a series of women who are recognizably Sarah. Her wonderful pearls that she used to wear to the beach because she said the sun was good for them.
Picasso is entranced by her, and it's not only Picasso who is bewitched. She inspires work by some of the greatest American writers of the 20th century.
A number of people, including Scott Fitzgerald and Ernest Hemingway, all made her a kind of muse in her form, her face, her voice, appears in work by all of them.
And that is the part that I was listening to where I was like, oh my God, this is going to fit perfectly in tonight's podcast, because basically the part that really stuck out to me was...
she had this very direct, candid way of speaking. To Picasso, this must have seemed just incredibly direct and sexy and amazing.
So yeah, that clip particularly really inspired me. And by the way, guys, that was from this whole little section of information is from the Smithsonian Channel, not the History Channel. So Smithsonian on YouTube. You'll find a plethora of videos just like this one with a lot of like history and fun stuff. And as you guys know, I think history is fun. So yeah, check it out. Okay. But that clip in particular really inspired me, because if you guys know anything about how women were or like portrayed, but just also how they were in the 1920s, you know, we as women did not have nearly like a drop in the bucket, nearly as many rights as we have now. We were, you know, meant to be seen, not heard. And so this Sarah woman, like, you know, how I'm hearing her being portrayed by these historians, she was absolutely everything that women were not supposed to be. And if you guys have seen photos of her as well, she looks nothing like, you know, women were supposed to be back in the day. She's, you know, voluptuous. She has some meat on her bones. She, you know, her hair is a mess. It's not like, you know, slick and boy cut like, you know, most flapper women had their hair. And, you know, think of the Gatsby era, how, you know, the flapper women and their boyish figures, like that was what was beautiful and sexy. And this woman is everything but that. But, you know, she has this captivating energy and, you know, she is a muse. She's someone that is not quiet. She literally forced people to put on costumes on the beach, like grown men and artists who usually, you know, artists are kind of like brooding types that don't like, you know, obviously it's like a generalization, but like, I'm picturing Picasso like being a kind of brooding type, you know, just based on everything I've heard about him. And she got the guy to put on a costume on a beach in France. So I think this girl, this woman rather, is something like a force to be reckoned with and something that's so inspiring. And I look at her and I think to myself, wow, I want to be a woman like that, you know, whose presence truly just, you know, lights up a room. And whenever I don't know, I kind of have this fantasy of being that person who is just, you know, walking down the street. And not that like it's my looks per se, it's more I just want my energy to be the type of energy that, you know, people see and they feel alive, you know what I mean? Or I guess feel rather, they feel that energy. And that's something I've always wanted. And I feel every single day, you know, me opening myself up, you know, really taking risks and just doing everything that I've been doing the past like 5 years of my life, considering high school was a really rough time for me, as I've mentioned a million times. You guys are probably sick of me saying it, but you know, I've just tried so many ways to, you know, in my own way of doing so, like open myself up and be more confident and be more out there. And in doing so, I've kind of come into contact with some unexpected, you know, pushback, like obstacles, you know, because you think you have this like vision of being this confident person. And then once you kind of get there, you're like, wait a second, there's people that don't like that I am this person. You know, I'm met with haters, people who see my YouTube videos and my content and, you know, bully me via DM and are like, we think we know your life, when they don't know my life and they don't know my struggles and they don't know that I'm not a perfect person all the time. You know, granted, I am a confident person because I've accepted everything that I'm not, and I know those things, I own those things, and I have them in my back pocket, and I know what those things are, and you know, nothing anyone says, well, for the most part, can hurt me, because I already know, like, haha, joke's on you, I already know everything that I am not, so thanks for telling me, because I already know most of it. But yeah, so I'm at that point, well, and I'm met with haters, and that's one thing, but I'm also kind of met with this kind of invisible, it's like almost like this little nagging feeling that I feel kind of that I'm a little too much sometimes. Do you ever feel that way? You know, in any element of your life, you might not even be in a place where you feel extremely confident. I don't know, like you might, you know, not be feeling too confident, but you still are sometimes met with this feeling of being too much, being too loud, being too enthusiastic, being too into your relationship, you know, feeling like you're just too much in any sense of the phrase. And, you know, I think about this woman, Sarah Murphy, and how she was a lot, especially for this time in 1920, where, you know, women, as I mentioned, are meant to be seen and not heard. They're meant to be little pretty, you know, women on a pedestal in their little flapper gowns and to just sit there and sip their little brandy. Or was this the Prohibition? I forget. Prohibition? So maybe like in secret in the back room sipping their brandy or on a beach in the south of France. sense, you know, but not being loud, not being a muse for all of these artists, like certainly not, especially when you have a husband, good Lord, like I can't imagine the judgment that this woman faced. But, you know, if you see these historical documentation, there was nowhere mentioned that she was met with, you know, any sort of, you know, what's it called, like opposition. Obviously she was, because if you guys, you know, behind closed doors, any confident person has days where they're like, oh shit, my life is just, it's just not panning out. I can't do it anymore. Sarah Murphy definitely had those days. And if you go on to read the rest of her story, like it's actually pretty crazy, the rest of the stuff she goes through. I don't want to like spoil it for you. If you're actually a history buff like me and would like to read up on it, you know, definitely do it. Sarah Murphy, her and her husband actually were, I forget what the novel's called, but it's an F. Scott Fitzgerald novel. I forget what it's called, but they were actually like the inspiration for the husband and wife in like a very notorious F. Scott Fitzgerald novel. So you guys might even have read about them in your lifetime. But anyway, so I was really particularly inspired by her because, you know, despite being this like loud person, who's to say she didn't ever worry about being too much, but she seemingly did not care about being too much. If anything, you know, it inspired people. And so I am constantly thinking about this whole concept of, you know, aspire to be a muse. Not in the sense that you aspire for men to, you know, swoon over you per se, but be your own muse. Be that muse, that person that you want to be. Be the type of person that inspires other people to be great. You know, wouldn't you love to like, you know, have done something, pushed so hard and worked so hard and been that person that makes other people inspired and makes other people, you know, turn their head and think, wow, that girl is on fire. Don't you want to be that person? And yes, there are drawbacks. Yes, there are times where that person that's quote unquote on fire struggles, you know, in their room at night and cries over things that you would never know that they cry over. You know, any type of person you aspire to be is not without any sort of flaws. And I think that's where we kind of go wrong, because we want to be these people and we forget that they do have flaws and they do have nights where they don't want to leave their rooms. But, you know, at the same time, these are the women, like these type of women are the ones that, you know, despite having these nights where they feel utterly useless, they get up stronger for the next day and make that day their bitch. So another little tidbit about Sarah Murphy's story. She, in her little social circle, or I guess the circle of people like Americans, I don't really know, she popularized the suntan. So as you guys know, it was like very popular for a while in history to, you know, be fair skinned, and it showed you were wealthy, that you could like, you know, afford to stay indoors or under a parasol or whatever those things are called. But Sarah Murphy was like, nuh-uh, I think I look beautiful when I'm tan, so I'm just gonna, you know, screw it. And a bunch of other women like followed suit, and then, you know, now we see it as being like, oh, I'm gonna be tan and I'm gonna be beautiful. Like I was just talking tonight about how much I need to get a spray tan for New Year's Eve because I'm a pale ghost at the moment. So that's just another interesting thing that I read about her. But basically, you know, Sarah Murphy was a muse, and I think that all of us have the, you know, the capacity, the capability to be a muse in our own right. Obviously it looks different for every person because we're not all like Sarah Murphy. We're not all extremely outgoing, like crazy, you know, loud, exotic people. You know, some of us are quite the opposite, but, you know, being a muse in your own right, like there are many muses of history and of artists and, you know, musicians that aren't the loudest person in the room. So, you know, I don't want you guys to take away from this podcast that being loud and being out there is the only way to be a muse. But I just want you guys to like tuck that in the back of your mind and think about that. You know, think about the fact that, you know, muses don't care if they're too much. And, you know, too much doesn't mean too loud. Too much just means, you know, not by the code of how things normally go, you know, beating to the rhythm of their own drum. And I aspire to be that person every day. I really truly do, until I sit back and I look at my love life and I pick and I prod, because as women, as a Scorpio, I am just an emotional picker. I have to pick at everything. I'm literally picking at my nails as I'm recording this podcast. I just, you know, something's just not right. You know, I have that feeling, and I always, time and time again, guys, I do this really ugly thing where I look at my love life, I look at something, maybe, you know, anything in my life that isn't measuring up to how I want it to be, and I blame it on the fact that it's just me. It's me, no one else in the world, nothing else in the world is to blame except for me and how I was born and how I am and how I act, and everything comes down to me. Nope, doesn't matter, you know, if that guy is just a jerk and whatever. Nope, it's definitely my fault. And the other night I was on like one dating app. I think it was Hinge or something. I'm on Hinge and Bumble. Those are the only two I'm on. But yeah, so I was on one of those dating apps and I was like typing. Some guy had like, you know, reached out and I said like, hi. And then he was asking how my day went. And I just like went on like a little spiel about my day. And I didn't just say like the normal, like, oh, it was fine, thanks. Or I didn't have like a witty reply or anything. And I just replied like the truth. And then he didn't respond. I was like, oh my God, I definitely just came on too strong. Like, it's totally my fault, blah, blah, blah. And then I laid in bed that night and I was like, oh my God, I am like, why do I have to just like be that way? Why can't I be more witty? Why can't I be more exciting? Like, that's definitely why I don't have a boyfriend, because, you know, I'm kind of like, I do this YouTube thing, right? And I do this podcast where I talk about guys and I share too much and I'm just too much. And I've beat myself up over it for a while. The fact that I kind of I feel sometimes, you know, I'm kind of like, sometimes I feel a certain way and sometimes I feel a complete other way. It's just like all my feelings are just all over the place. But sometimes I get to feeling like I overshare on the internet and I should stop doing things like this, because maybe it's the reason why not everything in my life is adding up completely. And, you know, that sounds so ridiculous, because you guys are probably sitting here listening to the podcast and are like, wait, I like this podcast, hopefully. I know, I can't, like, I don't want you to stop doing them just because you don't have a boyfriend. Like, that's a shallow reason to stop doing things like this. And then I always, that voice in my head always comes to me as well. And then I'm like, but, and, you know, alas, I'm going to be here every week. I'm going to keep doing this because I always, you know, another little voice in my head is like, but Katie, like, you know, when you find the right person, they're not going to care that you do this thing. If anything, they're going to be inspired by you, or, you know, they feel what you're doing is motivating and exciting and X, Y, and Z. And this actually reminds me of something I was talking to a friend about earlier this week as well. I posted all that stuff in my story about the Mindy Kaling quote, about, you know, women not hating themselves and whatever. And a friend of mine reached out and was like, I have a story for you. And she probably didn't know that I was going to put it on the podcast, but alas, here I am. It's a perfect little segue. I need to, sorry, girly. I'm not going to cite your name, so no one's going to know who you are. But anyway, so she basically was telling me this story about an ex that she recently has in her life, and the reason why they ended. And basically, they got together and he was initially very inspired by her because she has a really awesome career. Like, she is a dope career. She is like the biggest girl boss that I know. And he initially was so inspired by her and her career, you know, thought it was great that she was ambitious. There's this one quote that's just like nagging at me. It's like, you know, oh, that's inspiring. You can be like that. Like, guys are like happy for you and they're like, wow, that's great, until you're making more money than them, until you're doing something cooler than them. And then they're like, well, I told you what you're doing is great, but like, don't be that great that you overpower me and take away my manhood and feelings like that. And, you know, I have conversations all the time with my friends about like, is it awkward if the guy's making less money than you? Or like, is your job cooler? Like, does that put a strain on the relationship? But anyway, so this girl is doing great in her career. The guy was initially happy for her, thought she was being ambitious, whatever. She like had, you know, was just doing great in her career. And eventually, you know, this started to take a toll on their relationship and on him, namely. It wasn't really her, it was mostly him. Him feeling, you know, like overshadowed by her, and her feeling, I mean, I'm kind of assuming, she didn't say this, but if I was in the situation, you know, her feeling like, wait, should I kind of shrink myself or not tell him about my day because I don't want him to feel insecure or, you know, feel less of a man because I'm doing a cool thing. Like, do you ever feel like you're with someone, either a friend or a boyfriend, and you feel like you can't share everything about your day and about what you're working on and stuff like that because you don't want to come on like you're full of it, or full of yourself rather, or, you know, too cool for them, or you just don't want to open yourself up to them feeling lesser or thinking that you're a total bitch or, like, I don't know, egomaniac, narcissist or something like that? Do you ever feel that way? Because I can imagine if I was in her situation, I would kind of contemplate, you know, what's it called? Watering myself down you know, to save the relationship, because ultimately she did love this guy. And so, you know, she didn't want to completely ruin something that they had because of, you know, him feeling insecure or whatever, because naturally that's his feelings. And so, you know, she couldn't help but be a little bit, you know, open to those feelings and like, okay, like maybe I should adjust myself to make him feel better. And like saying these words out loud, and she's probably hearing these words and thinking, wow, like I sound ridiculous, like watering myself down to make this guy feel better about himself. Like I get it. You know, saying things or being inspired, like being encouraging to make someone feel better, that's like obviously the most, you know, noble thing you can do is just be there for someone else. And, you know, but no, you know, decent person would ever ask you, especially someone you're dating, would never ask you to, you know, chill and like simmer down and like make you feel like you can't share just because what you're doing is quote unquote cooler or better than what they're doing. And I feel like this kind of pertains sometimes to, you know, when you post stuff on social media, like you feel like you can't post something or you can't like upload a selfie when you're feeling like you're having a good skin day or something, you know, you feel like you can't share some things with even the internet because you're worried people will screenshot it, put it in their group memes and be like, oh my God, look at Katie, look how crazy she is. Like, oh my God. But you know what, guys, there's this whole little thing where it's like, no, what's it called? No, there's no such thing as bad publicity. It's like, at the end of the day, if they are using up their texting like finger muscles to post this like screenshot of my Insta in their group me, like, okay, you know who really won? Me, because I am not wasting my time doing shit like that, and I am like living my life and clearly doing well if you are screenshotting whatever it is, because it's something probably like, I don't know, like I'm happy and excited and proud of myself or whatever I posted. So like, you're at a loss there. You know, I'm such a pro, like post the selfie, post, you know, photos of yourself that you, that make you feel, you know, confident. Like when I feel like I have an awesome outfit on, or like I took a pretty good selfie and I'm like, wow, you know, it's not all about looks, as you guys know, but like to some extent, like it can be about looks sometimes. Like feel okay with posting things that, you know, you feel like are going to be like, I don't know, touchy or sensitive, like, you know, break that, those glass ceilings in the way that like you aren't afraid, like stop being afraid. And so similarly with this girl and the relationship problem, she actually, so I'm going to read something that she said because it was very, very, very relevant. So she says, he used to say, I've never dated someone as ambitious as you before, but eventually that thing that he loved about me became the very thing that he resented me for. So that's what I kind of said before. But she says, and as I let him in, a boy who felt threatened by the very best of me, I lost sight of myself. Self-love is more than face masks and telling yourself that you're great. It's also looking out for yourself and making sure that you're surrounded by those who love and support you, not just those, or not those in general, who are threatened by you. Practicing self-love isn't only thinking positive thoughts and speaking kindly to yourself. It's also making sure that the people that you are with are also doing that alongside you. She said, I wish I'd realized it sooner or left him before he broke up with me, but I can't beat myself up over it because I had to go through that lesson in its entirety to learn it. Amen, sister. I want to like give you a high five through the phone. But, you know, I said to her, I was kind of, like, we were having a back and forth conversation, and I said, like, this is so important. I said some other stuff. And then I was like, there's this concept, you know, their success does not mean that I've failed. You know, and I have a problem with this sometimes, like to lower myself to the, you know, the level of this guy, kind of like I have a problem where sometimes it's not even like something that's like a really known, like this is what I'm feeling right now. Like sometimes I just see other people on social or just in general and I'm like, wow, they are killing it. I am jealous. I hate them. Or like, you know, I kind of associate their success with me failing in some regard. Like I feel like, oh, this girl just lost a ton of weight. I'm like, you know, I failed. Like that makes me, like, it's almost like saying that this girl losing weight makes me fatter. You know, it's like, oh, I've lost. Like it's a competition. I'm a very competitive person. And so I feel like this sometimes. And you know what? Like usually for me, it's like a fleeting thought. Like it just goes in one ear, I think about it, I'm like, ugh, and then it like goes out the other ear and I don't think about it again, to be honest. But some people, some like horrific people in this world, like actually act on those feelings and like destroy someone either in like the comment sections of their YouTube video, or, you know, harasses them behind their back or to their face even. And those people have a special seat in hell, my friends, I will say. But, you know, it's normal to have these feelings, but it's important to, you know, repeat this little phrase to ourselves. You know, their success is not my failure. You know, why is it so hard for us to be happy for people? For like, why is it so hard? Like, I will say firsthand, it's hard. And I can imagine some people maybe look at what I post and just who I am as a person, and they either, you know, hate on me because they just have no life, or they hate on me because they associate my success and my happiness with their failure as well. You know, we're only human. It goes both ways. You know, we have these human thoughts, and it happens. It truly happens. But, you know, I think it's about time that we stop focusing so much on what other people are doing, because at the end of the day, they don't give a damn what I'm doing a lot of times. It's like, you know, you can like obsess over this person and obsess over hating on them and obsess over being jealous of them. At the end of the day, they're not giving a shit about what you think. So, or maybe they are, but like chances are they're not. So, you know, invest your energy and your time into bettering yourself, whatever that may be for you. For me, it's just becoming more open-minded and less, you know, impatience. You know, there's like certain qualities of myself that, you know, granted, I'm not going to sit here and just like bash myself on this podcast, but like there's certain areas where I do see that I need to improve, just like in life. Like I find little things and I'm like, wow, I should not be that way. You know, like I come across these people and they're so kind and forgiving and just everything that I'm not. Like I not to say I'm not nice, I'm not forgiving, but I hold grudges. I do, you know, internally. And the thoughts that go through my head aren't pretty all the time. And I need to, you know, kind of be conscious of those things. And that's something I've been working on. I'm going to work on in 2019 is just having a more gracious heart, I guess. Gracious and just also just, forgiving heart. So yeah, that's like a little tidbit about what I want to be working on. But, you know, whenever I kind of think, I have a little bit of a notes going on here that I want to talk about, but whenever I think about these like confident women that like, you know, just are like confident, kind of a little bit scary, like just a lot, I think of Sandra Bullock's character from The Proposal. Have you guys seen that movie? It's like, I just to give you a gist, I'm not gonna like spoil the plot, really. I guess I kind of have to. I'm not gonna spoil the plot. So basically, there's this guy. It's like a publishing house. So they're like publishing books. They're like in the book industry, which is like cutthroat, and probably even more so now that books are kind of going extinct, which I'm really upset about. Hopefully they will never, because I always only read paperbacks. So hopefully they always exist, but alas, anyway. So this woman works in the publishing industry. She's like a high up exec in the publishing industry. And we're going to call her Sandra because I don't remember her actual name, but like Sandra Bullock is the actress. And she has this assistant. And this assistant is a guy. Is it Ryan Reynolds? Why am I? I think it's Ryan Reynolds. I don't remember. We'll call him Ryan. So her assistant, Ryan, is like, he is an aspiring author. He like wants to be an author. He works for her though because he wants to like get his foot in the door, and he's been her assistant for like 10 years. And this girl is like a badass. Like she's like up with all these like men, like one of the only women at the table type of ordeal, but she's kind of a bitch and like a little bit or a lot of it demanding. Like I don't know if you guys have seen the movie, but like he has this like one incident with like a coffee mix up. Like he gets these two coffees. He always gets the same coffee as her just in case like one of them spills, so then he can give her the coffee because like he's actually scared of her kind of thing, and wants to be on her good side because he wants his book published, yada yada yada. So essentially he like, she's like from Canada and she almost gets kicked out of the country because of some like green card issue. So she low-key forces Ryan to marry her so she can stay in the country, and they like kind of go through with it. And I'm not gonna tell the rest of the story because obviously it's like a really good movie that you guys should all see, and it was like kind of a major movie of like my childhood. But yeah, so whenever I picture like a really crazy, like, or not crazy, I hate using that word, but like a badass, like loud, confident woman, you know, I think, and well, not necessarily like all confident women, but whenever I think of a woman that is confident and is kind of hated for being confident and kind of like just like bold and like just, you know, Sandra Bullock's character. If you guys have seen the movie, you guys would know exactly what I'm describing. I always think of her. Because, you know, I kind of get nervous sometimes that I'm going to become her, because she's like, I don't know, 35 or something. They really hone in on this like this concept of like her being like 35 and single because she scares away all men because she's so intimidating. And I have had this like irrational fear for like a lot of my life that I'm going to become Sandra Bullock's character. You know, in the end, she ends up being like great, and I'm not going to spoil it, but like she like ends up being a normal person, a normal human in the end, and like all of her insecurities come out, and like the reason for why she is how she is comes out by the end. But essentially, like, I've gotten nervous about being Sandra Bullock like my whole life because I am this person that knows, I know to a almost to a T, like vaguely what I want in this life, and I know what I need to do to get it, and I have this tendency of, you know, convincing myself that I'm like, it's hard to say. My friends would put this better. I honestly should have interviewed them for this like podcast topic, because they would say that I am. My friend Julia has this thing where she's like, Katie, you have an issue with monogamy, which sounds bad when I just like say that without explanation. But basically, I have this issue where, you know, when a guy just like gets too close, or I don't know, I end up being like, nope, okay, bye, skirt, I'm out of here. Like, I have this issue, and I love, you know, just like having attention from guys, but only when I want it / when I have time for it. Does that make sense? Like, I have this issue with, like, settling with one person because I convince myself that I kind of already, like, I have this issue where I, like, see the entire relationship, like, in my head in, like, a little mantra or whatever it's called. Mantra is not the right word. A montage. Like, a little mini montage in my head of how the relationship's going to go. And I just, like, picture it, like, crashing and burning at the end. And I'm like, nope, okay, I'm going to save myself the trouble and not even give you the time of day after. So as I've said, I'm like kind of a serial ghoster, and I've started. So in my like new life now, I call my new life like my post-grad life, I have been very consciously not ghosting or trying not to ghost. And it's been quite an ordeal, let me tell you, because, you know, it involves being like extremely vulnerable and saying like, oh, I just am not ready. Because ultimately, it isn't them. It's literally me just not being ready because I just am so busy with everything else in my life. And I also am just kind of afraid of it crashing and burning. And I think I'm pretty sure I need to like rewatch this movie. I'm pretty sure that's how Sandra Bullock was. And, you know, like my friend said in her little story she told me about her and her ex-boyfriend, you know, we have this fear. There's just so many fears. Like, her fear is obviously different than what I've been describing in my personal life. But, you know, with her, it's almost like she was just, you know, you have something so good. Like, why did you have to fuck it up with that one flaw of, you know, not being happy for me? And, you know, ultimately, sometimes it does come down to having a conversation, because sometimes people don't even know that they aren't being happy for you. Or, you know what I mean? It's like sometimes people are just like in a fog and they don't know that they're being that way. But it seems like she had the conversation and he was just like, nope, see ya. Like, let me find someone that's like just a little mouse and has no voice for herself, or I don't even know. But yeah, it kind of brings it all back to that Mindy Kaling quote that I opened with. It's like, you know, some people are intimidated by women who aren't just like down on themselves all the time. You know, who are actually, you know, going out there and taking the world by, or like the day by the reins, and being like, you're gonna be my bitch today. I'm gonna like kill life today. So yeah, you know, people are uncomfortable around women that actually don't hate themselves 24/7. Like, who, you know, go figure. But yeah, I do want to take the end of this podcast kind of to reflect on some of your messages, because you guys sent me a lot of awesome messages. You go, girls and guys, like killing it. But this one girl, Emily, sent me something that was just very eye-opening. I read it in the back of the cab on the way home from dinner tonight, and I was like, this is making it into the end of the podcast, because like, holy shit, this is relevant. So she said, I think that we are simultaneously afraid of being too much and not enough. I think that we a lot of times sell ourselves short in an attempt to make the people around us, i.e. guys we want to date, more comfortable. Yep, I talked about that. The problem becomes when we actually begin to believe the lies that we've told, that we are smaller than we are. Yeah, true. You know, sometimes, as I've mentioned, you know, I've found myself when I actually do lock down a man, which, you know, isn't often, because I'm like, nope, bye, see, I don't have time for you. But when I do, I have this tendency of being like, well, maybe I shouldn't tell them, you know, what I do on the internet. Or like, maybe I shouldn't, you know, tell them X, Y, and Z, or maybe I shouldn't open that door to this thing in my past that I, you know, it's scary and I don't want to open the door to my closet with the skeletons. You know, that's like the phrase for like the, I don't want to air my dirty laundry. I don't want to talk about the things that are hard because what if they can't handle it? What if they're scared? What if they're like, okay, this girl is nuts? You know, and we get nervous about those things. And then in doing so, we close ourselves off to something that might be amazing if we just opened up and told them how we feel and told them what we struggled with. And if anything, it would make them understand us better because there's things, guys, that we do subconsciously. Some things you cannot meticulously hide from other people. Some things you just do and you say without saying, you do without doing, that people just catch this vibe from you and you can't hide those skeletons forever. You know, whether you want to or not, like, you know, you might not actually share the bloody, dirty secret that you're gonna, you know, that you're scared of sharing, but something about you, something about your demeanor, something about what you say or how you act, like, is going to give that away to the other person that you're hiding something, and that something, you know, is something that you just need to get off your chest and that would make them understand you better. You know, like, what would be better than just having a relationship with someone where they fully understand every nook and cranny of your life? You know, that's something that I consider a goal. And, you know, I just know I'm going to get that, you know, get to that place because I'm going to share some secrets. And it's not going to be happy or exciting because, guys, there's some secrets that I haven't even shared with you all. Which I say because I share everything with you guys, and there's some things, some dirty parts of my past that I get nervous even reflecting on in the comfort of my own brain. So yeah, at the end of the day, guys, there's going to be some people, there are going to be people that are too much, or sorry, that think you are too much, rather. You know, you're going to be too much for some people, point blank. You can't censor yourself forever, okay? You can't. You're going to, you're going to crack. You're going to, you know, bottle up all those things that you don't say and that you feel and you don't share, and you're going to actually fucking explode. And you're going to, you know, be censoring yourself in all these ways, not posting the photo where you think you look good and not sharing something on social media because you're worried people are going to screenshot it and put it on the group me's and like talk shit about you and whatever. You know, there's going to be a day when you're just going to crack because of all these things that you're suppressing. You know, suppressing things. Imagine just suppressing anything in you know, a bodily way, or, you know, whatever. It's like some things you just got to get out. I'm picturing like when you're really hungover and you really have to throw up and you're just like, no, I'm not going to puke today. This is not going to be a day I'm going to throw up. And then you're like, nope, I just need to get it out. So you puke. And yep. Anyway, that was a really glamorous way to end this podcast. Wow, Katie, you've outdone yourself on this one. So yeah, I'm kind of reading my notes now that I talked about. Oh, guys, the book is called Tender is the Night by F. Scott Fitzgerald, if you guys are curious. Okay, sorry, I wrote that in like the little corner of my notes, and now I'm seeing it. But I wrote also, the right people won't be intimidated by you. They will be inspired by you. And so in the instance of my friend who shared her story to me via DM, you know, with her, I said to her, you know, the right person will not be intimidated by how successful or how excited you are about your job. And you won't have to like dull yourself down or, you know, water yourself down, rather. They'll be inspired by you. And ultimately, guys, in a relationship, you know, you're meant to grow together. You know, it's not that you're just kind of coasting through life at the same like rate and speed, and you know, you're dating this person or married to this person forever and you don't grow at all as an individual. Like, you're supposed to, you know, help each other like every single day of your relationship, just like give and take. And some people will put in 70 one day and 30, you know what I mean? I discussed this in the last podcast. Like, you ultimately learn from every relationship that you have. And when it's the one, like, you will feel like you are becoming a better version of yourself with that person. And so it like breaks my heart that some people feel like they or they may not even know, like subconsciously, are just not, they're going backwards when they're with a person because they want to, you know, not intimidate or overwhelm that person with their too muchness. So yeah, that's a really relevant piece there. And I don't think I wrote anything else that I haven't already talked about. But I do. Yeah. Okay. So that's really it, guys. For tonight's podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed my little story. Let me know if you guys like stories, because I kind of want to bring up like some women of history and like little things here and there. I'm kind of a dweeb about it. And so let me know if you guys are also dweebs about it. We could be dweebs together about history. So that's it for tonight, guys. Hope you all enjoyed this episode of Thick and Thin. I will talk to you guys all next week. See ya.